Hello and welcome to Visa Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I'm your host for today, Maria Roa, and I am delighted to be joined by Anne-May van der Meer. Anne-May is a marketing professional with over 10 years of experience in event organization and management. She started her career at Taos in 2009 as the first Taos employee. You have to tell me about that. And she has been in the organization ever since. For the past years, she works in the capacity of head of sales and marketing. Anne-May has helped in the organization of more than 35 local conferences, where she takes care of the program for the Taos track and host and moderate these sessions. Anne-May, it is great to have you. Let's start and let's talk.
Great. Great to be here.
Well, I mean, you've been in the industry for like 15 years, what are the most significant changes you've seen in the localization industry over the past decade?
Yeah, so actually, you know, I've been in the industry this year for 20 years because I've started at Taos in 2009. But before that, Jaap van der Meer, who's my father, founder of Taos, but he was still part of the Localworld organization. And back then in 2005, actually, I attended my first Localworld conference. So I did a little bit of small things like packing bags and helping with registration and very simple things. But back then, I actually had my first listening into all of these talks about the industry. So yeah, 20 years feels like a very, very long time.
But yeah, you were born in the industry, basically.
almost. Yeah, but I think indeed there's been quite a few changes in these 20 years. So from when I just started, it was really the change from rule-based MT to statistical machine translation. So the MOSES Core project is actually an EC-funded project that Taos participated in back in the day. So MT started to become really popular and also more open source. So I think that was the kind of the first change. But also crowdsourcing came a little bit later. We actually invited the author of the book on crowdsourcing, Jeff Howe, to be a keynote speaker at Localworld, I think 2008 or 2009. So that's, I think, was a more of an introduction to crowdsourcing in our industry. So as an alternative to that traditional supply chain from the MLVs, the agencies, freelance, so crowdsourcing became more of a thing. And around the same time, I think also data became much more interesting to people. So it's the data that actually makes the difference when you're training an MT engine. So all of the people sitting on all of their translation memories, it's gold, it's the new oil. And that was also the time when Taos launched the data cloud for the first time, 2008. So yeah, I think Taos was kind of in a lot of these changes, of course, that's why I remember them as well. And then let's see, maybe already 10 years ago, I think we saw the change to neural machine translation. Of course, also as a kind of a consequence of the data becoming much more important. So a big jump in quality for machine translation. And then now I think we're experiencing another change with ChatGPT and the large language models that are kind of coming into our industry and interrupting or completely the way that we work. So I would say those are some five big changes that I've been experiencing. Probably there's a lot more, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that you mentioned quite a few and they're great. But I mean, I think it's really interesting the way that you see, I mean, every person that I talk, probably they didn't start in the localization industry, you know, they come from a different background and then they happened to end up in the localization industry for some reason, but not really, never did it in purpose. I'm seeing that you were there from the beginning, you know, that was the industry that you started. Is this something that you always wanted to do?
Well, Tough question. I mean, I've always been interested in languages, so I studied English language and linguistics at the University of Amsterdam here, and I started looking, of course, for a part-time job because I wanted to earn some money, and then, well, Jaap had just found the Taos, my dad, and he said, "Do you want to and work for me, you know, do a little bit of things like bookkeeping, maintaining the website, you know, things that I could do kind of in between my classes." And I thought, well, that's great, because, you know, all of my friends, they had to work for 2 full days throughout the week, and I still had a whole weekend because I could just do some hours here and there. And when I was done, he said, "What do you like to do? You can work for me full time, or you can go out there and find a job." But I was actually quite interested in everything. It's a very technical, but also, you know, finding out all of these things that are going on that actually all of my friends are using. You know, I remember that Facebook was available in all these different languages, and my friends were like, "Oh, Facebook is now available in Dutch." And I thought, well, I actually know a little bit about this, you know, how is this possible? So it just always piqued my interest. And I started to also get to know the people in the industry. And I've never felt the need to leave, because it keeps on evolving and keeps being interesting to me.
I think that happens with the localization industry. Once, I mean, you sometimes just happened to start working in it, but once you do, you don't want to go, you know. No. It is an industry that attracts people, really, that, as you say, you can see every day. So that also makes it more interesting. But going back to the changes that we were mentioning before, we talked about a bit about ChatGPT, artificial intelligence. How do you see AI shaping the future of translation and localization?
Well, I think it will completely reshape the future of our industry, but in a very slow way, because our sector is quite conservative, I think. So what we're seeing now is kind of these two industries of AI and translation are kind of converging. So we already see that it's embedded in every app, every platform. Translation is available out of the wall almost, and I do think it impacts every professional in our industry significantly. AI, it's like with banking, for example, it has become fintech. So with translation, the traditional translation industry will no longer be a traditional translation industry. It's very much AI focused. Will there still be a human in the loop? I think it's very hard to predict what is going to happen, and it's also very delicate, of course, because there are so many proud professionals, humans in our industry that have been translating for years and years. That profession is changing. I think that is what people have been feeling for a very long time, but now it's becoming much more evident. So I don't know if I can do a very exact prediction, but I think there will be a lot more automation, but also a need for a lot more control or quality checks to make sure that we're ensuring our quality, we're not introducing offensive language, discrimination, these kind of things. Automation and quality control, I think, are two very important tasks for us in the coming
to look years. At. Absolutely. How does Taos approach the balance between these technological advancements and human expertise in localization? Because I know you mentioned it is a tough thing to see what the future is, but how are you guys managing this right now?
Well, Taos used to be, back in the day, very much a think tank. So we were advocating for machine translation from the founding of Taos. So we published a lot of reports and articles to kind of help share knowledge, and think tank, resource center, those were kind of the words that were associated with Taos. But we're now more of a data solutions company. So we've evolved with the changes that we've seen in the industry, because we started gathering data in 2008, and then we thought, well, we have all this precious data. We should not just talk the talk, but walk the walk is a phrase that Jaap has said many, many times. So we started also developing a few solutions just to share with the industry and make available. So we launched something called Data Enhanced Machine Translation, which is actually customized MT. So we used our data to improve the baseline MT models, and we've seen up to 25% quality improvements with that. But we also have our own microtask platform. It's community based. It's called the Human Language Project, and that's to help customers with data collection, annotation, but also now with evaluation of large language models. And we also have developed the quality estimation tool or API, which I think now is next to large language models or AI, kind of the hottest new product in the market. So I think the role of the human has changed from a pure translator becoming a bit more advanced in technology, but also more specialized or niche. So you can be a cultural expert to help with the content that really needs that human touch, or in a cultural, even anthropological perspective, perhaps. Or you can become more of a data NLP expert to get very savvy with this enhancing and augmenting the data to make it useful. So yeah, I think the role of the human in our industry has only become more creative. And the things that we're developing at Taos, I think, are utilizing all of these humans. So whether it's with quality estimation to enhance these models to make the output of the API more accurate, or with the microtask platform that's run completely by humans all over the world to perform all of these data tasks. So.
Wow, that sounds
a lot.
Like a lot to take in. Yes, I know you mentioned before the early days with the statistical and then neural MT. I think at that time, Taos data was used by a small group of MT developers. But since 2023, the field has grown immensely. Now with GenA and LLMs, thousands are looking to tailor and enhance these basic models. Could you explain how this contributes to the advancement of multilingual language models?
Sure. Yeah, indeed. It's everyone knows that large language models from the big tech, they are trained mostly on, I think probably 90% on English data. So yep. Everything that we see and we use is kind of through an English filter. So it's an opportunity for us in the translation sector to share all of that data and all of the other languages that we have, which is in domain and it's multilingual. So we can enhance the models significantly and reduce that English bias. I've been posting a little bit about that on LinkedIn as well. So at Taos, we have this, we have 7.4 billion words, which is source words only, in I think 483 language pairs. So we have that data. It's multilingual and bilingual, and we're selling that actually to the AI world, but also to the translation world. Now with I think up to 97% discount, because we also see that. We want to really get rid of this English-centric world now. We should make all of these AI and large language models more multilingual. So there's one thing that what we're doing to help is to offer all of the data that we have for a very low price. But also we are trying to bring the two worlds, so AI and translation world, together at our conferences this year. We'll have one in Rome in June, and in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in October. So we won't just have these language technology MT gurus, but also some innovators from the AI and LLM world. We'll invite them on the stage because we believe that both worlds can really learn from each other and combined, hopefully bring us really closer to the breaking the language barriers, you know, making sure that every human in the world can access information in their own native language. I think combining our two industries is a secret sauce for that.
It is indeed. No, and it is so important what you're saying, because at the end, I mean, yeah, many people does speak English, but we do need things in different languages, and that's why we're here. Well, I believe early this year you wrote a blog about the real world impact of quality estimation. Can you tell us more about the advancements in Tao's QE metrics 2.0, featuring a state of the art cross-lingual transformer architecture for precise translation quality predictions?
Yes. Yeah, it's of course very much marketing text in these blogs. But yeah, so this estimate API that we brought out probably a year ago now. So it's powered by all of the data that we have. So we're using that data to increase the accuracy of this machine-driven scoring. So yeah, we believe that data is really that the secret of the Taos QE. And for version 2.0, we've introduced a new metric by some advanced models that we combine with our own QE metric. So as you say, it's an advanced cross-lingual transformer architecture. So based on the transformer models, and then our NLP team, we have an in-house team of NLP experts. They are very specialized in data improvements and constant fine-tuning. So this second release of our estimate API, it shows an increased level of accuracy in the estimation and also much more correlation with the human evaluations. So the model is more capable of distinguishing kind of acceptable segments from the not acceptable segments. And I think another thing that we're working on now, maybe good to mention, especially linking to AI and LLMs, is we're now developing all kinds of services on top of the basic quality estimation. So we can train the model to automatically correct the source segments, because we're also seeing a lot of times that there are actually some errors or mistakes in the source segments, while that's causes the output score of the quality estimation to be low, but in fact, there's a problem in the source segment. So we can automatically fix that. We can implement error types and severity levels in the output scores, or flag and filter like offensive language, automatic post editing. So these are all kinds of things that we're working on now to add to the quality estimation.
Oh my God. So this would be version 3.0?
Yeah, and 4 and 5 and 6.
We'll keep on going. Yeah, I mean, this is the great thing, actually, about all these advancements that we're having. I do believe everything it is for, obviously, the best. And people, I think we will always need people. It's just we'll have a different job, or we will have to do different things, or the things that we do now, we will have to do them differently, because we need to get used to change. But it is amazing how fast we're going. So I hope there is many versions, as you say, 3.0, 4.0, because that means that we are growing. You guys are growing. So congratulations for that. And well, we came to the end so fast, but I would like to ask you, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience today? You mentioned a couple events that you're doing. I don't know if you want to talk about them, or you want to mention anything else that you guys are working on.
So anything else to share? Well, I think it's good to know that for the audience to know that Taos is no longer that think tank. We have so many products developed now that are very useful for the industry. So we're doing our best to promote that a lot. And we're very excited about that, and to keep on also improving the products that we've developed. So that's maybe just good to share one more time here. And of course, we do hope to see that we do hope to see some of the audience here at the events that we're hosting this year. Actually, in a few weeks, we'll be in Tokyo, but I believe that we're already sold out of seats for that. It's a kind of a smaller event. And then in Rome in June and Albuquerque, New Mexico in October. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be moving away from the real traditional translation topics and really introducing AI into the mix, but also talking about how these two industries can work together. And it's maybe a little bit cheesy, but to really break the language barrier, because I think that's why we're all in this industry and why we do not leave, because we are yet to reach that goal. So I think
it's great. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, is that through LinkedIn? Should they do it through an email?
LinkedIn or with my email is also fine. Maybe we can leave it in the description for when the video goes live. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. That sounds great. Thank you for that. So that's the end of today's show with Anne-May van der Meer. Please make sure to tune in again to see Anne or to listen to the next Business Talk show, where we will be discussing more interesting topics with interesting people from all around the world. Thank you so much, Anne-May.
Thank you for having me, Maria.